We now begin Masechet Sanhedrin in earnest. This is Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, 1:1. And the topic of the whole chapter, as I said before, is the constitution of various Batei Din, how many Dayanim you need for various kinds of cases. So we start out with the smaller Batei Din, just a basin of three. First it says, Dine Mamonos B'Shlosha, which literally means lawsuits that Dine Torah that involve finances, you need three. Now, this actually is specifically referring to hodaos v'halvaos, as the bartender says, which means referring to situations of loans that need to be repaid. Now, normally, all the batei din, even of three throughout our Mishnahs here, are going to be referring to a bezin of three mumchin. A mumcha, an expert, is the same as a smuchin, as someone who has smicha, as explained in the introduction. However, this particular din of what's called mamonos here, to the repayment of loans, is allowed to be done even by dayanim who are hediotos, who are just not having smicha. In fact, it could be any dayan, and more than that, in fact, really true, this mikra din could be even a single one dayan instead of a bezin of three, if he is like recognized by the masses to be an expert. So the reason why we're being very lenient here, specifically with regards to loans being repaid, is, as I explained in the introduction, we are concerned about what Chazal describe as locking the door in front of lenders, meaning shelo tinol delis b'fnei halovim, that borrowers shouldn't have the door locked in front of them. I said lenders, I meant borrowers. Because the idea is that to be able to borrow money is a resource, and like lending money is a chesed in the Jewish community. And if the lender believes it's going to be hard to get himself his money back, because the standards are very high in terms of, let's say, needing a special bezdin, which maybe he can't find, he'll be hesitant to lend money in the first place. And if he doesn't lend money, then the borrower can't get money. And therefore, Chazal made a takana, which is that even though normally a bezdin requires mumchen, people with smicha, we'll make an exception to the rule when it comes to loans. We'll allow for these lesser kind of batadin, or even one expert, so that the lender can be confident he'll be able to get his money back if his borrower starts playing games with him. Now, the basic source for needing a bezin of three expert dayanim is because in Parshas Mishpatim, when it talks about the bezin, three times it refers to these dayanim with the expression Elohim, normally Elohim referring to Hashem, but since Elohim suggests them with like with power and authority, So that could be a court as well. So since there are three times the term Elohim is appearing in Mishpatim, referring to courts, so we understand that the court should have specifically three Dayanim, three Elohim, three judges. The leniency here we refer to, as the bartender says, Hoda'os v'halva'os. Those are both referring to a lender recovering his loan. The difference is, Hoda'os, which means admissions, is a scenario where the borrower admitted to two witnesses that he owes the lender money. That's called a hoda. And a halva would be referring to where the witnesses can testify that the loan was extended to the borrower at some specific point and amount in the past. So both those are considered loan things. You need three dayanim, even not mumchen. Then the Mishnah says, gazelos v'chavalos b'shlosha. Also, these need three. Here we need three dayanim that are mumchen. A gazela is literally means a robbery or theft. Really, it's any time that someone has taken something that doesn't belong to him. It doesn't need to be actually technically a true robbery. It could be things like someone deposited his bicycle at his friend and the friend is misappropriated it or denies he has it and is trying to steal it, withholding wages, all this kind of stuff. And chavalos means injuries. So that would be or damages. So that means when a person injures his friend, person injures another person, so those five payments have to get paid: the nezek, tsar, ripui, boshes, and sheves. So that's the physical damage, the physical pain, the medical bills. Sheves is unemployment compensation, and boshes is like the emotional suffering. So those kind of payments, they'll have to be determined from a bezin of three. And these are mumchen, experts, meaning people have smicha. B'shlosha. The truth is that there's a Gemara in Bava Kama, Pei Daled, which talks about how the kinds of court cases which are like very common and involve some sort of financial loss, where the dayanim are confident and comfortable with these cases, see them all the time, they can rule in them even if they're not smuchen, and that would include things like the payment of a ksuba and a yerusha, And also, according to many, even also things like gazela as well. So that is lamaisa. Today we have these batin who could perhaps rule on these matters even without having smuchin. Okay, then you have, says the Mishnah, nezik v'chatzi nezik. Now nezik kind of is really a repeat of the previous line of the Mishnah of chabala, of injuring someone. It could also be your property, damaging someone else's property. And chatzi nezik, you recall back from the beginning of Bava Kama, is when a person has a docile farm animal, like a cow. So cows are not expected to cause damage. If the cow does gore somebody else's, you know, cow, so then that wasn't expected. And the damage, the payment that the owner of the damaging cow pays to the cow that got damaged, the owner of the cow that got damaged, is chatzi nezek, half the damage. Okay, now, that actually is kind of a kind of kanas. Kanasos, we said, are penalties. There are times when the payment isn't exactly commensurate with the financial loss caused. So typically a kanas, a penalty, would be like more than the loss was caused. But in this case of chatzi nezek, it's actually less, but still it's kind of a kanas because without the, it's not a one for one. It's not repaying him for his loss. So it's like a kind of kanas. And since we're mentioning, starting to talk about kanasos here, penalties, we start with the least of them, which is the chatzi nezek. And since we're talking about chatzi nezek, we mentioned nezek as well. So it's kind of, that's why it's kind of repetitive over here. Okay, so the chatzi nezek damage, as well as tashlumi kefil and tashlumi arba v'chamisha b'shlosha, these kinds of kanaso, these kind of penalty payments also need a bezin of three mumchin. Let me go through them quickly with you. Tashlumi kefil is any time that a person steals, not as a robber, meaning with the knowledge of the victim, but rather surreptitiously, secretly, as a geneva, like in the middle of the night, whatever it is, that the victim doesn't know. So if he gets caught out and brought to bezin and confirmed that he's the thief, he has to return not just what he stole, or the value of what he stole, but also a second kanas called kefil, a double payment, which means, just for example, if a person steals a wallet in the middle of the night, the wallet, let's say the wallet itself is worth, you know, $10, and inside the wallet is $5 more. So then, let's say he spent the $5, but so all he has left is the $10 wallet when he's busted, you know, and brought into Beis Din. They confirm he's the thief. So he'll have to give back the wallet that he stole. That's $10. He has also, since he spent $5 that was in the wallet, he stole another $5. He has to give $5 more. That's called the keren, the wallet plus the compensation, total of 15. That'd be the keren, the principal of what he stole. But then there's also the shlumi kefil, that's the double payment, that's like the kanas. He'll pay an additional $15 as like to, once again, as the penalty for stealing $15 worth of stuff, meaning the $10 wallet plus the $5 inside. Okay, so that's the kefil payment. Now, there are two other special cases here. If one in the steals secretly a seh means a goat or a sheep, and then the thief subsequently either slaughters or sells that goat or sheep onto a third party, so there's a special penalty there called the penalty of four. So that means if he gets caught and brought to Bezin and confirmed he was a thief of the sheep or the goat, he'll pay, let's say the sheep is worth 100, let's say he slaughtered it and ate it, or he sold it, whatever it is. So now he'll have to give back 100 as the keren, principal for what he stole, another 100 is the kefa, like any time one thieves, and then another 200 as this, bringing for up to a total of 400 as like the arba, as the four payments. So that four payment, the four times the value of the sheep, it's keren plus kefa plus two more. Similarly, if one steals a cow, and then the thief steals it, after stealing it, he slaughters it or sells it to a third party, he's going to pay five times the value of the cow. Again, one time is keren, principal, one time is the kefil, the double payment, and then the extra three are the special kanas that the Torah imposes on stealing and then slaughtering or selling cows. So those all are kanasos, and that has to be done in a bezdin of shlosha, of three dayanim mumchen. More kanasos, says the Mishnah, ha'onas v'mafata v'moti shemra b'shlosha. Okay, let's take these, let's actually talk about the onus of the mafata first, because really they kind of are standing alone, then there's a machlokus regarding the moti shemra. So the onus mafata, everyone agrees you need a bezin of three mumchin. These are kanasos. The onus is someone who forces a unmarried girl to live with him, and that's like against her will. So that's an onus. And then mafata is someone who seduces a girl to live with him, which again she's not married. She's a panuya, but she kind of gets seduced and convinced to agree with it, but she agrees ultimately, and she's not forced physically. So then those two events require a kanas, like a 50 shekel kanas. And in the case of the mafata, they could choose to live together and get married if they want, whatever, and that's not for now. The point is, there's potentially a kanas here, 50. Now, hamotzi shemra is something else. The motzi shemra, says the Mishnah, I'll read the words first. Hamotzi shemra b'shlosha, also with three dayanim, divrib meir. The chacham omrim motzi shemra b'esrim v'shlosha. The chacham say, no, a motzi shemra situation requires 23 dayanim, but nei sheyesh bo dinin afashos, because it could implicate a capital penalty, meaning someone could be executed here. So the case of motzi shemra, I'll remind you, is a man is mekadesh a woman, she's probably a young woman, very young woman, and then typically what happened is he gives the ring, she becomes Mekudesha, so she's really an Eshesis, she's a married woman, but she stays living in her father's home, let's say for another year even. So she's, let's say, 12 years old, something like that. She lives with her father for another year, and then at 13, she'd move in with her husband, and then she'd become a Nesua. But even as an Arusa, she's accepted the Kedushin, she's really a married woman living in her father's house, and therefore it's forbidden to sleep with her, and anyone who would sleep with her would be already Chayev, there's a Misa for that. Now, comes the marriage a year later, and then the husband claims, after the wedding, he claims that the woman actually was not a basula, that she actually had already lived with another man since Kedushin. Whoa. So now, that's a nasty accusation, and really, it could have two ramifications. One is that even if he doesn't have witnesses, so then we'd assume that he's telling the truth. There's an assumption he's telling the truth, because a person wouldn't take the trouble of making a whole wedding and paying for that all, etc., doing all that effort for a wedding, only to get rid of his wife the next day. Therefore, we believe him enough that he could divorce her and not pay her ksuba. Remember, according to the Mishnah, he could divorce his wife whenever he wants to, anytime he wants to. That's the Mishnahic law. So we're only talking about paying the ksuba. He's trying to say, I'm not paying ksuba because I was tricked here. This woman was not a basula. Now, if he would have witnesses that could confirm that she had slept with somebody else in the meantime, so then that's bad news, and she actually could be facing like a death penalty. Okay, so now, our Mishnah is saying you need three people. The assumptions, we're not talking about anything to do with a capital case here. We're talking about just the financial claim. Reb Meir therefore says you just need three people. Now there's machlokas in Rishonim what the claim is, because there's two possibilities and the different approaches in Rishonim. They kind of amount to the same thing in my view. One is essentially that the case is over. The guy who claimed that his wife had been with another man actually shown to be like having brought false witnesses, so he's a motzi shemra, he was essentially slandering her. So now her father can claim from him the kanas, this like 100 shekel kanas, the biggest kanas in the Torah, and how is he going to get that kanas? He's going to have to sue the motzi shemra, the slanderer, the no good nick son-in-law. So that din Torah would just be a financial din Torah. Reb Meir says three would be sufficient, and the Chacham says they need 23 anyways. Why still 23? Because maybe in defense of himself, the son-in-law will find new witnesses who will bring testimony that would suggest that she, in fact, was adulterous, in which case we're back to potential capital case. So because of that possibility, 23 are required from the beginning, says the Chacham. The other possibility is that since the husband himself is trying to get out of paying the ksuba, that in and of itself is just a financial consideration. Therefore, three should be sufficient. He's saying, I don't have witnesses. I just want to deal with the financial case. 23 should be enough. But again, so the rabbis, three should be enough. But the rabbis say we need 23 because you never know what could come out in terms of evidence. The next thing you know, witnesses appear. Wants to hear about this court case, and then we're into a capital situation. In any case, the halacha would be like the chachamim, that when it comes to the motzi shemra situations, if we ever had one, God forbid, we would start the thing off and do the whole thing with 23, lest it lead to a situation which there are witnesses which could bring the woman to a capital punishment situation.